democracy faces down a pandemic.
They've given guidance to poll workers on sanitizing equipment, making sure they're washing their hands. Voters might see hand sanitizer, for example, at polling places.
Virus or not, voters in some big states will have their say in the Democratic primary. Plus, years of stock gains wiped out in days. How deeper falls may erase gains Wall Street made in the Trump era. It's Tuesday, March 17th. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. This is What's News. Before we look at how the pandemic is affecting the presidential race and markets, let's get up to date on other big developments. Europe's leadership is proposing to ban non-essential travel into most of the European Union for a month. It's expected to be adopted today and comes after several EU countries, including Germany, put in travel restrictions of their own. Congress is working to move quickly to finish up a stimulus package to blunt the economic impact of the virus, but there are potential bumps in the road. The House finalized its version of the bill, which moves action to the Senate. Some Republican senators are expressing doubts about parts of the House bill, which could slow it down. The current legislation includes measures to make coronavirus testing free and to provide paid leave for workers dealing with the effects of the pandemic. The FDA said it will now allow private companies to market coronavirus test kits directly to the public in a policy change to speed up access to testing. It will review the accuracy of test data submitted by the manufacturers retroactively. Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders fight the next round of their battle for the Democratic nomination today, with voters in several big states casting their ballots under very unusual circumstances. In the key state of Ohio, there's a dispute over the governor's push to postpone the vote during the pandemic. Governor Mike DeWine said the state's top health official will order polls closed as part of a health emergency. This comes after an Ohio court ordered voting to go forward in response to the governor's earlier move to postpone in-person voting.
It is therefore my recommendation, after talking with the Secretary of State, talking with the Attorney General, talking with the Lieutenant Governor, that voting be extended until June 2nd, that no in-person voting occur today, but rather that in-person voting occur on June 2nd. But between now and then, that absentee ballot voting be permitted.
Arizona, Illinois, and Florida hold their contests today. Our Anne-Marie Fertoli spoke with reporter Alexa Course on how the coronavirus pandemic is changing the presidential race.
So, Alexa, we saw during the debate on Sunday that Sanders and Biden both took aim at President Trump over his handling of the coronavirus pandemic. It was a dominant topic during that debate, and it's also changing a lot about the primaries as we head into another big day of contests. What can you tell us about the preparations that have been going on in Arizona, Illinois, and Florida?
You know, officials in these states say they're taking a lot of precautions. You know, they say they've, you know, given guidance to poll workers on sanitizing equipment, making sure they're washing their hands. You know, voters might see hand sanitizer, for example, at polling places. Officials also say that in some cases they've moved polling places that were going to be at nursing homes or other vulnerable sites. So voters also should check before they go to the polls about where their polling place is going to be.
We're also seeing campaign events being canceled. The debate on Sunday was notably not in front of a live studio audience to help protect people from the coronavirus. This is shaping up to be a very different presidential race than anything we've seen before.
It is. Presidential candidates are used to, you know, holding events in person, trying to meet voters that way. Campaigns are really having to be creative, try to do live stream events, for example.
What about those who are going out to vote? Americans are being asked right now to self-isolate and limit their exposure. How are they feeling about going out and casting their ballots in person?
Ohio's governor talked about this when he was explaining why he was recommending delaying their primary. He said he didn't want to make anyone feel like they had to choose between their health and going out to vote. We'll see on Tuesday how voters are feeling about it. We've seen in places across the country, some people already choosing not to go out if they don't have to. So we'll see how that plays into people's decisions about whether to go to the polls.
So let's talk about the candidates heading into today's contest. Sanders had an early lead in this race, and now Biden has pulled ahead after decisive victories during Super Tuesday. What can you tell us about each candidate's momentum heading into today?
So Biden is leading in the delegate count, and you know he's going to be looking to capitalize on that and try to unite the party behind his bid. You know, meanwhile, campaign aides to Mr. Sanders have said that, you know, his path to the nomination has narrowed, you know, after losses in recent primaries, but, you know, he's still in the race.
All right. Wall Street Journal reporter Alexa Kors joining me from Washington. Thank you so much, Alexa.
Thank you.
Right after a quick break, we'll look at the latest twist in how the coronavirus pandemic is rocking markets. Global markets are seeing frenzied trading a day after the Dow dropped 13%, marking the second worst day in its history. Some Asian markets posted some gains, but volatility measures remain extremely high and big swings were the norm in global trading. Here's our Asia markets editor, Quinton Webb, with the latest.
Rather hard today in Asia to pick a kind of clear narrative, actually, because we've seen a sort of pickup in U.S. stock futures suggesting some kind of bounce back on Tuesday is possible for the U.S. market after its worst day in decades. But, you know, then some markets in Asia Pacific were up, others were down, others were down sharply and then kind of recovered a bit. All we can say really is that we're still in this period of extended heightened volatility where investors are trying to work out, you know, how severe a shock the coronavirus poses to the global economy, how effectively central banks and governments can counteract it with various kinds of policy responses, and also whether the very fact of the market selling off is creating new problems of its own, whether it's kind of uncovering bits of excess that are now needing to be unwound, and that, you know, could create some sort of negative feedback loop. So it's totally obvious to say, but volatility is elevated and it will probably stay that way for some time.
U.S. stocks have given back years of gains in the past few days. Quentin explains how further falls could mean erasing the run-up made since President Trump's election.
The Trump bump, or this phenomenon of U.S. stocks rising after the president's election in late 2016, is interesting because I think there are very few presidents who have tied their success and the success of the stock market so closely together. So now, potentially, that becomes a little bit of a problem in an election year, and with, you know, that gain in U.S. stock markets down to something like roughly 10%, where it was much, much higher, you know, only a few weeks ago. Now, of course, you could argue, you know, the coronavirus didn't originate in the U.S., and it's not really the fault of any particular White House administration, but it could be something that, I guess, becomes a kind of talking point. It's certainly not inconceivable that we would trade down through those levels. You know, I know there are forecasts out there for kind of bearish levels on the S&P 500 that would put us through the kind of pre-2016 Trump bump level. Of course, we're in a market at the moment where, you know, a high single digit or a double digit percentage move in a day is not inconceivable.
The coronavirus pandemic is touching nearly everything we cover at the Journal: business, markets, politics, the economy. But our reporters around the world are also covering other news stories. For example, in Russia, President Vladimir Putin is one step closer to holding power through the year 2036. Russia's highest court backed his proposed constitutional changes, setting the stage for him to become the longest ruling leader in Russia's modern history, surpassing Joseph Stalin. Wells Fargo is clawing back $15 million in compensation from former CEO Timothy Sloan. He left the bank last year after failing to turn it around in the wake of a scandal. Sloan took the top job in 2016 as the lender was reeling from its fake account scandal, in which it was revealed to have created perhaps millions of unauthorized accounts. It is St. Patrick's Day, but most of the events that come with the holiday have been canceled due to coronavirus. Ireland has canceled all of its parades for the holiday. U.S. cities, including Boston, Chicago, and New York, have done the same as governments place new restrictions on large public gatherings. And that's what's news for this Monday morning. We'll be back with another updated podcast this evening, and you can visit WSJ.com throughout the day for full coverage of the pandemic. I'm Mark Garrison with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.